This episode is brought to you by the Heaven Baby Hope Box. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and I wanted to share the Heaven Baby Hope Box project with you. The Heaven Baby Hope Box was created by Lola Igumbor, who was the guest in episode 39. Where she shared the story of losing her infant son, Elijah. Through losing her heaven baby, Elijah, Lola is pursuing purpose within pain and desires to be a voice for and within the infant loss community. The journey after infant loss is often full of pain, shame, guilt, and loneliness. And many families find it difficult to cope or find hope for the days ahead. Lola has created and designed a box full of items, including encouraging books and letters from other lost moms, an angel bracelet, a soy candle, and a lost card, in hopes to share love and hope to families experiencing or those who have experienced such a painful loss. Your donations to the Heaven Baby Hope Box Project will go to the cost of items included in the box and will help cover shipping costs to each family that receives this box. Any amount counts, and she thanks you and I thank you for being part of something great. I will leave the link to the GoFundMe to help fund the Heaven Baby Hope Box so that parents and families that have experienced infant loss and pregnancy loss can be reached and encouraged and loved on. Please check out the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real-life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Okay, today is, what's today?
The baby saying oyoyo.
My baby saying oyoyo? Say welcome.
Welcome.
To?
Oyoyo.
Say welcome to Mommy Oyoyo.
Welcome to Mommy Oyoyo.
And what's your name?
Chloe Grace.
Your name's Chloe Grace? Mm-hmm. How old are you?
3.
You're 3 years old? Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Awesome.
I'm 3 years old and I have a baby sister.
You're 3 years old and you have a baby sister? Mm-hmm. Do you also have a baby brother? Mm-hmm. Yay.
My baby brother was right on me.
He's always lying on you. That's so funny. Okay. Say thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Say I love you. Say I love you.
I love you.
And Mommy Oyoyo loves you guys too for listening. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed my little introduction with Coco. She decided that she wanted to come on Mommy Oyoyo and say hi to you guys, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. I've said you guys like 20 times. Okay, I'm going to stop that. But how are you doing? let's see. Do we have any housekeeping for today? Not really. Nothing much has been going on my end apart from that last week's episode on postpartum depression, you know, for an African mom. Has shot up to the second most popular episode. Like, I never expected that. I never really expected that to happen. And I guess it's just a testament to what you guys are looking for, the kind of information that you guys are looking for. And I'm just really thrilled that this podcast is resonating with so many of you. In the past week or so, I've gotten, I think, like 500 or 600 listens, which is amazing. And I'm gearing up for the 10,000 listens mark. And honestly, I'm low key anxious about it because it's like, ha, wow. 10,000 listens, like now what? I feel like, oh my goodness, do I need to like overperform? What happens after 10,000? I mean, I'm not going to change or anything, and I still have awesome interviews and awesome episodes planned, but just that 10,000 mark, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, what now? So I am a little bit anxious about it, but again, I thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast and for sharing and for leaving the ratings and reviews. I really enjoy going back and reading the reviews, and so much so that I've put up a page on my website for reviews. So you guys can go check that out as well. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Today is going to be a solo episode. I haven't had one in quite a while. And I wanted to talk about my own personal experience as a single mom. I'm not sure how many of you know that I am a single mother. My husband, in quotes, because we are still married, we're not divorced yet, but he and I are not together. And so I've really largely been a single mom since my daughter was born 3.5 years ago. And in today's episode, I just want to share what it's been like, what the struggles have been, my happy moments, my fears about single parenthood, and my hopes and dreams for the future. So I would say just sit back, relax, get some wine or tea or coffee or whatever. And I hope you guys enjoy listening to me talk about my experience. Okay, so I'm gonna start from the beginning. I don't really want to go into the relationship or the marriage between my daughter's father and I. That's not what this episode is about. I don't want to talk about that at all. But I'm not quite sure how to really give a complete look into my life as a single mom without touching on some things. I may not say them explicitly, but you might be able to infer some things. Like I mentioned, I have basically been a single mother since my child was an infant, since she was a baby. At first, it was kind of because he was back in Nigeria and I was here with our daughter by myself. The marriage had already begun to unravel at that point, like very early stages, but I was still kind of trying to fight for the marriage, still trying to fight for us to get back together. Apart from me wanting to work things out for me, I really, really, really wanted us to work things out for my daughter. If you've listened to the very first episode, or if you have followed me on my blog or on YouTube for a while, then you know that he and I were trying for quite some time before we were able to conceive and get pregnant. We had an IUI done, which didn't work. This was a year plus into trying, and that didn't work. And I posted on my blog and posted on YouTube in April of 2016 about our trying to conceive journey. And so when we eventually got pregnant in, it was October of 2016, but I found out in December. That's when I found out that I was pregnant. At that point, it was like such a relief because we'd been trying for so long, and everybody around the world had been praying for so long for us to get pregnant. And so for us to now have this child and then say that we're splitting up, that just didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, wait. So we spent so much time praying and fasting. There are so many people, I want to say like hundreds of people, who were praying for us across the world to get pregnant. And now this child is here and we are splitting up. Like, is that what? Is that like, I just might, I couldn't wrap my head around it. So I really wanted us to try and work things out. I want to say largely for her, because I was so afraid, so scared of what the implications of coming from a broken home. And I say that in quotes, okay? Because the home that I have now, it's me and my parents and my family, and we're definitely not broken. But to the fear of her growing up in a household without mother and father combined, mother and father in a happy marriage, I would never have seen that coming. And to be honest, I will say that in the early stages of watching my marriage crumble, I kind of wished that I never got pregnant. Not for her, but just why would I bring my child into this world for her to grow up in a divided house? That was what I was seeing. So it was really hard for me to come to terms with the idea of me being a single mom. I was afraid for what the long-term implications would be as well, because you know there are all of these statistics on little girls that grow up without their fathers and they make all of these poor choices. Even girls that grow up without feeling affection from their dads or feeling love from their dad, their fathers tend to, well, at least that's what statistics say. They tend to grow up looking for love in all the wrong places to compensate for that love that they missed as they were growing up. And it doesn't really bother me as much now, because her father is in her life. He lives here now. And he very clearly loves her. He does. And she enjoys seeing him. So I don't worry so much about that now. But that was one of the concerning things for me. And at the very beginning, I was not just crying that my marriage was ending, but also crying and weeping for her. In fact, I remember my mom told me one time, I think I'd gone to work, and my mom was watching her at home. And she said she just looked at Coco as a toddler. No, not even a toddler. I think she was less than a year old. But Coco was watching TV, and my mom said she just looked at Coco and was like, "Oh my God, so like your parents are splitting up. So, like this is really gonna happen to you in your life." And that she started crying as well. So emotionally,
I think there was just so much going on emotionally, right? When I used to think about motherhood, I always thought about, getting financial support from your partner. I thought about like spiritual support, from your partner. But I never really thought about the emotional aspects of motherhood. There are so many times where you, as the mother, need someone to lean on emotionally, because motherhood comes with a lot of emotional happenings. I don't know the word to use. And I didn't have that because, again, he and I, from almost after I had the baby, it seemed like we were going our separate ways, even though I desperately, desperately fought to try and make things work. But the emotional toll that it had on me was a lot, and it kind of opened my eyes to not just single mothers who may not necessarily have, a partner to offload their emotions on or to share their emotions with, but also those married women or women in partnerships where their partners are not emotionally available to them. I think that being a single mom has opened my eyes to not just the conventional mother, especially in our society. Our society as Africans, Nigerians, the ideal is, mother and father together. Not even necessarily happy home, but just mother and father together. But me being in this position just opened my eyes, and I began to have more empathy for single moms and just for mothers in general. Sorry, there might be like some pauses here and there because I'm trying to collect my thoughts. Trying to collect my thoughts. But as a single mom, you don't, I don't think, no, I don't think a lot of people end up as single moms. Like they don't plan to be single moms. Not a lot of people who are single moms plan that for their lives. It just kind of happens to a majority of us who are in this boat, whether it's from getting pregnant and not being married to your partner, or the person you're sleeping with and he's just not interested, or in my case, divorce or widowhood. Of course, there are the subset of women who just want to have a child and they don't necessarily want a partner. So, whether they go and adopt or they get a what's that thing called? They get artificial insemination, right? They go to a sperm bank. But single motherhood, I think, is definitely not for the weak. Motherhood in general is not for the weak. But single mothers, I think that we take it an extra step further. It is so challenging to be a single parent. From the emotional aspect, the spiritual aspect, the physical aspect, and I'm not talking about sex, just, the physical exertion of raising a child or children by yourself, especially if your partner is not in close proximity to you. It's very, very tiring. I remember in December of 2017. My daughter was about 6 months old at the time. And one day I went to work and I hadn't eaten. I hadn't been sleeping because my daughter had been sick. And at some point in the morning, after doing the first couple of hours of work, I got up to go get breakfast. And I closed my office door behind me. My boss looked at me and was like, "Hey, Anita, where are you off to?" Like, "Oh, I'm going to have breakfast." And then I collapsed on the floor and I couldn't move. They ran to get help. They carried me up and I was just so exerted because I hadn't been sleeping. I hadn't been eating properly. I was trying to do everything by myself, even though I had my mom at home and my ex-mother-in-law at home. I still kind of felt like, this is my child and I need to be like the number one person there for her, which yes, I should be, but I also should have asked for more help. And that kind of person who doesn't want to have to ask for help, like I kind of want you to see that I need help and then offer it without me having to ask. But I quickly learned after that that auntie is not gonna work like that, because if anything happens to me, who is going to get my child? And that's another thing that, I think about as a single mom. I have to try and make sure that I am healthy, that I am driving safely. Like even my driving, I try to drive a little bit more safer now because I don't want anything to happen to me. If something happens to me, I don't want to have her father and my family arguing about who gets to take her or who gets to keep her or whatever. I started actually started drafting a will, not maybe like a year or 2 years ago, just for something like this. The kind of things I think about, But yeah, it can be physically exhausting. It can be. And my takeaway from that is you definitely need to ask for help. Definitely need to ask for help when you need it. If you need a break, and listen, I'm not shy about needing and about saying I want a break. If you need a break, please take it. I'm very lucky in that I have my family and my friends supporting me and helping me out here and there to watch Coco when I need a break. I'm very lucky. I think about the single mom out there who doesn't have that family support, who doesn't have that the circle of friends, the network to assist her when she needs help. I think about the single mom who doesn't have a job like mine. Well, thanks to COVID now, I'm having to work from home, which helps me out quite a lot. But I think about like the single mom out there who has to go to the office, even with COVID and everything. And if the daycare or the school is closed, then what? If the schools are closed, what does she do? Like, there's just so much, it seems that. Not just it seems, it's reality. There's so much that single mothers go through. And just being in the position myself really opened my eyes to see what others are going through. I want to talk about finances a little bit. And I don't know if my daughter's father is going to listen to this episode or whether people that know him will listen to the episode. I have to be kind of cautious when I speak about finances, because I'm not trying to disrespect him or say something bad publicly about him. But I found that my being open sometimes, people that know him or he himself tend to take that as me speaking negatively about him. That's not my intention. I'm not trying to do that. And in fact, there are times where I've posted on Instagram, I've posted something and then have to put a disclaimer that, CEO, if you are his friend or family member and you see this, I'm not talking about him. Or if you see this and you feel the need to go and report, that's your business. Because that has happened to me before. I remember sometime this year, I think I put up something on Instagram. And before I knew it, I was getting called that, why would I go and say something like that? And da-da-da-da-da. Because somebody had seen what I posted and gone back to go and tell him that this is what Barry said. Anyway, neither here nor there. But for the major, my daughter now is 3+ years. They're almost 3.5 years old. And for the better part of it, I have been financially responsible for her. The first year of her life, I could easily have put her in daycare. Actually, not easily. I may have wanted to put her in daycare earlier than she eventually went, but I wasn't earning enough money to pay for daycare. So she stayed home until she was, I want to say, 14 months or so. Like 13 months was when she started daycare. And I was just very blessed in that the month after she started daycare, I was able to get another job where I could then afford daycare. But I remember in preparing to send her to daycare, just going around and looking at the different daycares around us. Much nicer places that of course cost more money that I couldn't afford. And so I applied for this daycare or childcare grant. And I remember driving home from work one day and getting the call that from the agent handling my application to tell me whether or not I was approved for the grant. And she told me that I wasn't approved for the grant. And I remember just being in the car and crying my eyes out. I cried and cried and cried. And before the agent could hang up, though, I asked her, I'm like, okay, I mean, obviously, I'm sad that I wasn't able to get this assistance for my daughter's daycare, because I really don't think I can afford it on this job. Can you please tell me, what is the threshold for people to get this grant? And when she told me the number, I think she said something like, you have to be making less than $8,000 a year. I was like, wait, what? $8,000 in the whole entire year? And at that point, I was just like, you know what? Thank God I earned too much to meet this threshold. That became a moment of gratitude. Yes, I was sad that I didn't have assistance, but I thanked God in that moment, because it's like, so there are people who are financially so much, much worse off than me. But yeah, by the following month or so, I think I got a new job, which was able to afford me the daycare that she's been going to. It's not the best daycare, but it's the most affordable around me. There are some times where Like something will happen, and in my mind, I'm like, see, I want to take this child out of this daycare. But then I look at my pocket, I look at my bank account, it's like, well, I can't for now. So I just manage. I'm like, you know what? At least, you know, she's being taken care of. She is making friends. She is learning. Yeah, they might not have like ballet class in the daycare, but at least she has the basics. So I'll just keep managing. But like, speaking of ballet, things that I had dreamt for my child, you know, doing extracurricular activities like ballet or piano or swim, things like that, or tennis, whatever. Some of these things I just thought about, like, I cannot afford any of these things on my own. And they used to make me, like, it used to make me just feel sad for my child. Like, I want, you know, you want the best for your child, right? You want the best for your child. But on my salary at the time, and because I was absorbing all of the financial responsibilities by myself, I wasn't able to afford some of these nicer or bigger things for her that I ordinarily would have wanted. But I just thank God, though, because God has been faithful and God has continuously provided for me and for her. We live with my parents. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but we live with my parents and we don't have to pay rent, which is a big deal because on my current salary, I don't know about affording a place of my own. I'm hopeful that by next year I get a much better paying job that will, you know, that will put me in a position for us to be able to move out, get our own place and everything. I'm, you know, just praying that that happens for us next year. But I'm still very, very thankful that I've had this support from my parents, from my family members, and from friends. I remember in the early stages, like maybe the first year or two of her life, I would just be talking about, you know, something, and then by the time I get home, somebody has put money into my account, you know, just to say, just to, you know, saying like, we just want to help out for this month. And I remember, oh God, this will make me emotional, but like some of my closest friends and like my sisters and my brother, at times, like they would just send so much money, at least to me, then it was so much money to cover like, I think, 1 or 2 months, the money that my sister gave to me handled her daycare fees, and then my cousin as well, and then like I would say something to somebody at church. I remember a friend of mine, she sent I was just telling her kind of a little bit of what was going on, and by the time I got home, she had sent me like $50 or so, and I just remember crying and just like, wow, God, thank you so much for taking care of me. Like, even in the middle of all of this lack and everything, you're still taking care of me. You're still, you know, making sure that me and my daughter are keeping our heads above water. So there's been a lot of support from people, and it's something that I myself try to pay forward. It's thankfully though, now the financial burden has been lifted from me, and I'm really, really grateful for that. I really am. Because now I see that I breathe a little bit easier. I laugh more. I smile more. I play more. I went for so long without really buying anything for myself to now being able to afford, if things were open, I wouldn't mind going to go get a pedicure. but I'm able to afford like small vacations here and there now. So things are really picking up and I'm thankful for that. I do remember though speaking to an older relative. She's not that much older, but in the middle of everything, some advice that she gave to me was make sure that the money that you earn and your expenses, you're able to cover your expenses using the money that you earn, so that you're not dependent on anybody else for money. And by anybody else, she meant, you know, my daughter's father, because it's something that she had seen a lot with a lot of single moms, where they're not getting any help from the fathers of their children. And so she was just speaking from a place of, you know, just make sure that you have your own. You know, if he is giving you money, that's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. But then if something happens and he decides to stop giving you money, at least you know you can take care of yours, of you and yours by yourself. That was her advice. And there are some people though who are on the other end that no, you must get that money from him. You must get that money from you know your child's father. You know, and I don't know. I think I'm quite laid back. I'm quite laid back. I'm not that person who's trying to go and like fight and thunder and brimstone and everything. What you can give, I will take it very happily. So, but I don't know, maybe it's a thing of pride where I'm not going to keep begging you. You know, I feel like a lot of men, you know what your responsibilities are, and I feel like as a man you should live up to those responsibilities and not be asked to take care of your responsibilities. And this is to any man at all that's listening to this podcast. If you have a child out there, a child or children out there, whether it's from an ex-girlfriend, an ex-wife, somebody that you got pregnant, whatever, I don't care, you have to take care of your responsibilities. You have to. It is your moral responsibility. It is. There's nothing you can tell me, absolutely nothing you can tell me that I will say, well, okay, maybe. Mm-mm. As long as you have a child, you made that child with the other person, you need to step up and take care of your child. Okay. There was something else I wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. One of my fears or concerns about being a single mom has been, you know, with dating. And just the anxiety that comes with, okay, so when will I meet someone? And how soon is, how early or how late do you tell the person that you're dating that you have a child? You tell them like right from the get-go, right? Like, hey, my name's Barry, this is our first date, just FYI, I have a child, okay? So you need to know what you're walking into. I've thought about that, like, I don't know. Something else I've thought of, you know, in regards to dating is, when do you decide that you want to introduce this person to your child? And are you introducing them as just a friend or a potential? Like, I don't know how it works. I'm hoping to have a friend of mine, another friend of mine who's she calls herself a solo parent. I want to have her on the podcast to talk about what it's been like dating as a single mom. for her. I haven't started dating. I'm not quite ready yet. But I do wonder about, you know, when I meet someone, how do I know that they will treat my child as their child? Because I definitely don't want to marry someone that will not treat my child as his own child as well. And then there's also the thing of, you know, my ex, when he decides to get married, will he be choosing someone who will treat my child as her child, right? There's this almost fear of, well, what if that person doesn't take care of my child properly? What if that person is, what's the word? What if that person is, what is that word? What if that person is resentful? Is resentful of my child because my child is so important to her father? I don't want a situation like that. But then again, you also see some situations of where, like, a step parent is demanding that the child call them mommy or daddy or whatever, and I don't know. I don't want my child calling somebody else mommy. Like, no, I'm your only mother, you know. I think about that too. I think about her having step siblings and half siblings. And sometimes when I really stop to think about this aspect too, it also, I don't know if it worries me, but it just still, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. Right? I think about when she gets a little bit older and maybe at school, other people are talking about, oh, my mommy and my daddy, like, we live in the same house or whatever. I worry about when she comes home and will say, mommy, how come you and daddy don't live together? Aren't you married? I mean, she has seen our wedding pictures before, but for her, at least, you know, her whole entire life, you know, we've lived apart from her father. So for her, it would be normal. But then when she goes out and begins to grasp that more, like, majority of people, I don't even know if it's majority anymore. I don't know. But I think about those times. Back to dating again. When I think about dating, sometimes I'm asking myself, like, does this guy think I'm dating him because I'm looking for a father for my child? And is he going to feel bad for me? Like, oh, you know, yeah, she has baggage or whatever. So, you know, I just kind of need to, like, I don't want anybody to be with me because they pity me. I'm much better than that. At the same time, if I am going to date somebody seriously enough that I would think about marrying them, of course I want them to be a father figure to my child, because my child is primarily with me, and whoever it is that I end up with will also be the, I don't want to say primary or secondary father figure in her life, but that person would play an important role to her. Things like that, just, they come to mind, and I'm not quite sure how to navigate them. But for now, I'm not ready to date, so when I cross that bridge, maybe When I get maybe when I reach that bridge, maybe I'll cross it when I get there. But yeah, being a single mom has been challenging, but also rewarding in the sense that I didn't know the kind of strength that I had. It has been tough. Like I've said before, I don't know if I've said it on here, but the first maybe year and a half, I maybe cried every day. With this whole marriage crumbling and everything, I maybe cried almost every day. And yes, I would complain and I would say that raising a child alone is hard, because the thing is, it is hard. It is. I'm not going to sit down here and pretend like, oh yeah, life is so gravy and life is so, this and that or whatever. It's hard. It's challenging. And I don't really care too much what anybody has to say, because I have had someone say to me, and oh God, when this person said it, I was boiling mad. The person said something like, you're always talking about how hard it is to raise your child, as if you're the first single mother out there. That I've seen other people raising their children by themselves and they're fine. They don't talk about it. They're not complaining, but you're always complaining. And I was just livid. I was so angry. I cried. I was so angry. Well, my point is, the other single moms that that may not be talking about it, maybe they just don't want to talk about it. Maybe they're too tired to talk about it. Maybe you're not close enough to them for them to talk about the struggles with you. I'm open. I talk about things on my blog. I talk about things on Instagram. I'm open like that. It has been challenging at times, but at the same time, it's also been rewarding, like I said, because I've seen just how strong I am. I'm a very, very strong woman. I have tried. I have tried, if I do say so myself. And I've been able to keep my head above water. I've been able to care for my child financially, emotionally. I need to do better spiritually. But I think I've done a bang up job, and just kudos to all the single parents out there. Kudos to all the single moms out there. It's not easy. It's not easy. But we do what we have to do to make sure that our children are well taken care of. All right, so I want to address some of the questions that I was asked on Instagram. Not too many questions, I think just like two or three questions about me being a single mom. Someone asked, Koyo Baby asked, what is the most difficult thing in raising a child on your own? I think for me, the most difficult thing has been the finances and the emotional aspect of being a single mom. I'm a very emotional person and I like to share my feelings, and I would prefer it to be one person that I am, sharing my life with, that I can, share like the daily ins and outs, talk to them every day about things that are going on. So that's a big thing. And really, the finances were really challenging, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. But I'm just thankful that at least for now, that part is not like a big issue for me anymore. So that was a question from Koyo Baby. Another question from Choma was, how has Coco handled the divorce and how do you explain it to her? So, like I mentioned, she has never had me and her dad together. The only time that we were together in front of her
was for the first 6 weeks of her life. After that, he was in Nigeria and didn't move here until February of this year. I tried to maintain a relationship between both of them by making sure that the lines of communication were open between them, even though there are lots and lots and lots of times where I didn't want to speak to him, he didn't want to speak to me at all. There's no way for him to get to her without, you know, passing through me. So there would have to be that little. And there are times, honestly, where it was just, you know, where it would be a video call and I'll just put the phone in front of her and walk away just because I didn't want to get into any arguments and just things were just too toxic. So she has never had both of us being together, which in a way I guess is kind of a blessing somehow. So she doesn't really quite know what she's missing, I guess. I don't know. I still feel sad for her in that regard, but she's still young. She's 3 years old. She doesn't know what marriage and divorce is. So, hey, I do plan to talk to her about the situation and how everything went down when she's older. I'd have to determine when I think she's old enough to handle hearing what happened from my side, and I wouldn't try to tell her the story in a way to demean or to bash my ex. I don't want that to happen. I would rather, you know, that she hears. I mean, if she wants to hear my side and his side, okay, no problem. But if she asks me before I feel like she's old enough or mature enough to know some of the details, I'll just say, you know, mommy and daddy just weren't happy together anymore. And we were happier apart. But I mean, you know that I love you. You know your daddy loves you. And that's what matters. To be honest, I didn't even really think that she knew about mommy and daddy until I think she was like a year old. And I took her to the playground. And there was another child there with both his parents, and Coco really like spent a long time looking at that family, and she kept telling me, mommy, that's his mommy and that's his daddy, that's his mommy and that's his daddy, that's his mommy and that's his daddy. And I remember I cried that day on the playground. I cried, like, I turned my face around and I cried because I was like, oh my goodness, she knows that her father is not here. Like, mommy and daddy are not together. Which kind of brings me to a point that I missed earlier on co-parenting. Co-parenting is hard. Especially if you and your ex are not on good terms. Like I said, we've had moments where things were just really, really toxic and it was just better for us not to interact at all. But my overall goal is to be at least cordial to each other, respectful to each other. If it means that we just don't engage in conversation at all, apart from anything that concerns her, that's fine. It's kind of tough. We really had our moments. I've definitely had my fair share of just lashing out, you know, in anger, and saying things or behaving in ways that I'm not proud of. I have had my moments. But my overarching goal really is to be able to co-parent amicably so that she doesn't feel like, oh, mommy and daddy can't stand each other. I don't know about him. I don't know about him. Things are pretty peaceful for now. But at least from my end, I just want to live in peace. And And I think that about covers it. I've talked about finances. I've talked about the emotional bit. I've talked about having the right support. Am I missing anything? Maybe I should talk a little bit about self-care. As a single mom, it can be hard to really take care of yourself because all of your energy is either focused on work and taking care of your child or your children. But it's very important to take out time for you. Take out time to take care of your body, your spirit, your mental faculties. I think I've mentioned on the podcast before that I have had therapy on and off for the past, I want to say, year and a half. I even called my therapist last week because I just needed to let some things out. But it's really important for you to take care of yourself, because if you aren't cared for, if your cup isn't full, you won't have anything to pour into your child or your children. Whether it's, you know, taking a few hours a week or an hour or two a day to just do what you want, to be who you want, whether it's to exercise or to read or to pray or to read your Bible or to do a beauty routine or watch some silly shows, whatever, do it. And I think you should also lean on, if you have friends or family around you, definitely lean on them and go out every once in a while without your child. Get a babysitter or get someone else, a friend or family member, to watch your child and actually go out and just be you, be an adult outside. I'm very thankful because my mom pushes me, you know, to go out. I take advantage when I can. I've traveled without my child, I think twice now. Last year I traveled to Vegas without her for 4 days, and not for 3 days. And this year I traveled to California for 4 days without her. She was with her aunt and with her dad for a little bit. So if you can manage it, to any single mom, I would say definitely take out time that is not child focused or child centered. Okay, another question that I got from Instagram was, what societal challenges or stigmas have you faced as a single African woman? To be honest, I personally haven't felt any stigmas or challenges. I think mostly because I live here in the States, and so I haven't had to deal with any negativity from like the typical or the general African. I do think that because I'm also quite open about a lot of things, even if someone maybe tries to say something untoward to me, I will very quickly get on their case. So I don't think I myself have had any of those challenges. And then I think also, though, because I was married, right? Well, you know, because I had my child during wedlock or within wedlock, the stigma has not been as bad as, say, someone who had a child before they were married, or maybe just were never married at all. I remember seeing a post on Instagram, I can't remember which account it was, but this lady went to a bank in Nigeria, and I think she had her child with her or something, and a woman close to her said something, and
when she said, "No, I'm not married," you know, the woman was very mean and very condescending toward her. Like, you're not even ashamed of yourself. How can you, like, proudly say that you have a child and you don't have a husband? Like, what's wrong with you? And I remember reading that and being so angry. I was so, so angry because, number one, it's none of your business. Number two, you have no right to be condescending towards somebody else because of their situation. Whether you know what happened or you don't know what happened, it's not like you shouldn't do that. So I don't foresee anything like that happening to me, as long as I'm here in the States. So I don't know about going to Nigeria. I mean, I really don't know, but at least I'm thankful that I haven't had to deal with that. And the last question that someone asked was, what do you want your married friends to know about being supportive and respectful? I think the number one thing that I'd like my married friends to know is that, at least right now, I'm not looking to get hooked up. It almost seems like anybody that comes along, any guy that they know that might be single, it's kind of like, oh, hey, maybe you should talk to this guy or whatever. Like, they're always trying to, it seems like they're very quick to try and matchmake me or like hook me up with somebody. And I'm really just not ready. Like I said, I'm pretty vocal. So I've told everyone, you know, around me that I'm not ready. So like, just don't even really bring it up, and they're good about it. So that would be my number one thing is, you know, just because someone is a single mother doesn't mean that she's desperate to get married, right? And on that issue again, sometimes I wonder whether people think that single mothers should settle for whoever comes along. Because, well, you're a single mother, and so your choices are limited. You know what I mean? At one point, there was a friend of mine who would, like, when he talks about me dating again, he would always talk about, you know, somebody that has children already, somebody that's previously married and everything. And not that there's anything wrong with dating a divorced dad, you know, or a single dad, but my question to him was, well, what about just a single person who's never been married, never had children? Like, why doesn't that seem like it's an option on the table? You know, why does it seem like you're saying, well, you know, you're in this situation, so you should go with someone else in the same situation? I remember listening to Vera's podcast, and she interviewed someone who was divorced. I don't know if she's married now, but she said that she would never date anybody that doesn't already have a child, because she doesn't believe that someone without children will really understand the what parents go through. And before that, to be honest, I mean, I hadn't really thought about it one way or another, but I kind of got her point. I've also spoken to an aunt who says, you know, if you're going to date someone, you should date somebody that already has older children and doesn't want children anymore, so that, you know, it's just you and Coco and then this guy and his children. Like, you don't have to worry about it. And then I've spoken to somebody else who says, no, you should date somebody that has one child that's about Coco's age. Like, everybody seems to have an opinion on who I should date, which is funny because I'm just not ready yet anyways. But I think for me, the number one thing would just be, you know, just kind of be respectful of what I like, of when I'm ready to start dating and my choices when I do begin to start dating. I'm not desperate and I would not want to settle for just anybody. I don't want anybody to settle for me either. So that would be it. But as far as married people being respectful and thoughtful of single mothers, just remember that a single parent may not necessarily have the same resources as you, and they may need some help here and there. Like, don't wait for them to ask. Just you yourself, ask your friends. You know, if you know anyone that's a single parent, hey, is there anything that I can help with? You know, do you want me to take your child or your children off your hands for a few, you know, hours or so you can do you? Yeah, I think that would be what I would want my married friends to know about being supportive for me. I hope this hasn't been, you know, a completely rambling episode, but I just kind of wanted to share a little bit of what it's been like for me as a single mom. And again, I hope nobody finds this episode disrespectful. That's not my intention. I'm just trying to speak about what it's been like for me from my own vantage point. So, thank you everyone who has listened to this episode. If you know any single moms out there, I would say that you should try and offer them your support in any way that you can. Whether it's, you know what, I will watch the kids for you, go take a break or go take a nap or go out or something. Or if you have the means, supporting them financially or praying for them, being there for them emotionally as a friend. And if you are a single mom who is listening to this episode, just continue staying strong. I know it's hard. I know it is. But continue staying strong. You are doing the best that you can. And I know that your children love you. Your child or your children love you. And just more grease to your elbows. And I pray for more strength for you and over you. Thanks for listening to this episode. I will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.